Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by a thousand miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and we are dedicated to you. We're going to tell you why in a minute. You can hear it in Tommy's voice right now, probably, but we are really dedicated to you. So much so that it makes me cringe. And of course, Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, dude?
What's up, man? How you doing?
That is like the worst you have sounded in like, 12 years.
It's pretty bad. Let me explain, because I'm hopefully going to make this audio quality sound less than awful. But I am sitting in a hotel room in Memphis, Tennessee right now. I am not in the lab where we usually do this show from. So it's Gaming Uncensored on the road this week.
Dude, you actually got a hotel room?
I got a hotel room.
What version of reality is this?
My job pays my travel expenses.
I thought you crashed on somebody's couch.
I usually do. I do oftentimes, but I splurged this time. Got a hotel room, so I'm sitting overlooking Poplar Avenue in Memphis, Tennessee, right now.
You know what? I do miss that environment.
I do too. I dig it here. I love this city. It's a cool city. I love being in Dallas, and I love being back in Texas, but Memphis is just a cool city, and so it's fun to be back for a little bit. I luckily get to come back a handful of times each year for work stuff, so it's cool. But as that is the case, I'm on a Logitech headset right now that's not the most ideal recording situation of all time. The headset, the headphones that are built into this headset that are even worse sounding, and so I can hear my voice, and it's just killing me inside. And so we'll see how it goes, but we're here nonetheless.
Let me explain to you folks why you haven't gotten any voice on my video capture that I've been putting up on Patreon. What you're hearing from Tommy is exactly why. Like, there's all of these headsets out there, and everybody's like, just get a headset, it'll be fine. Just get a headset, we'll get your headset. No! I have a very, very, very nice broadcast quality microphone, and by the grace of God, if I can't make it work, I'm not using anything else.
Yeah.
And maybe that makes me a snob, but please tell me you feel the same way.
Well, I would say I feel the same way, but I'm sitting here with a cheap Logitech headset on my head.
Well,
so
yeah,
obviously,
you're
I compromise a little bit.
You're not in your house, though.
That's true.
I refuse to buy one to put on my gaming rig. I know I should, but I refuse.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because this is what we do for a living, and I refuse to sound like crap. If we're on the road, that's a different deal. But yeah, not from the house. So all that being said, I'm glad you're back in Memphis, or have you gotten to eat?
I have gotten to eat, of course, coming to Memphis. That's a big thing. I actually, this is going to be shocking, don't think I'm going to eat any barbecue on this trip.
Wow.
Yeah, right? To be fair, I was in Memphis 3 weeks ago or something like that. So I've been here recently, and so it's not that novel of a thing. But I ate this afternoon at our favorite Chinese place in Memphis, which doesn't seem like a big deal. But it's like the best egg rolls I've ever had, and we have yet to find anywhere else, especially in Dallas, that has comparable egg rolls. And so it seems silly to come to Memphis and eat Chinese food, but I was legit excited about Chinese food in Memphis. And so
well,
I am satiated with egg rolls and sesame chicken right now.
Well, it's amazing to me that you and I have been doing this for 12 years. And we know a lot about each other, and we have a pretty good idea of what each other likes, but we have never discussed Chinese food.
We have not. I don't think we've ever eaten Chinese food together.
I love Chinese food. And
me too.
I have no idea how we have never eaten Chinese food, but we haven't. We have never eaten Chinese food. Now, the big thing in this part of the world is Thai food.
Yeah.
Like, we got like 8 zillion Thai food restaurants.
Yeah.
I don't so much like Thai food.
Yeah.
Chinese food and Thai food are two different things.
That is true. I will tell you, though, I dig pad Thai. I really
yes.
enjoy pad Thai. That's about the only thing I ever order at a Thai place. But I really dig, like, I like peanuts a lot. And so,
right.
like, peanuts and other random assortment of stuff. Turns out to be pretty good for me. So, yeah.
Yes.
I dig pad Thai. The rest of it, I could take or leave. They don't have good egg rolls, and so that bums me out. To be fair, I mean, China doesn't have good egg rolls. It's not a Chinese thing. I've been to China. I've eaten legit Chinese food. I didn't see a single egg roll while I was there. It's not a thing that they do. But I dig a good egg roll. Egg rolls are awesome, and so, yeah.
I've got
a couple of really good Chinese places in Dallas that are authentic Chinese. Which means they don't have good egg rolls. And so this place in Memphis, it's kind of a, I don't know, it's not like a big name place. It's not super popular. It's just one of the first places we found in Memphis that we loved, and the egg rolls are awesome. So got to go back.
I do. I love me some Chinese food, and the egg roll is like my favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
You could skip the rest of it and just give me like 6 egg rolls, and I'm good to go. So I'm glad we're in agreement on that, on the list of stuff that, we need to do more of, eat Chinese food. And
yeah,
sadly, I don't think there's really a decent Chinese place in town.
I don't think there is either. I don't know if one.
I really don't. But, I don't know if we talked about this on the last show. And stop me if we have, but the guys that I work with at the computer shop, both of them are from Perryton, right?
Really?
Which is where you're from.
Right.
You grew up your whole life, right?
That's my hometown. Yeah.
So both of these guys are from Perryton. They're significantly younger. And so they don't know who you are, and they don't know who the Six Sidekick is, so they suck. But they are from Perryton.
That's super random.
We have had numerous discussions about the Dixie Dog.
Yes.
They brought up the Dixie Dog the other day, and I'm like, I've been hearing about the Dixie Dog for 12 years, and I've never been there.
Yeah.
So they were discussing the burger there. What's the name
big
of the
beefy.
Burger? The big beefy. Beefy, yeah. Like, they were talking about the big beefy, and I'm like, man, I got to get me a big beefy.
If for whatever reason you ever find yourself in Perryton, Texas, which you won't because there's no route going anywhere that's likely to take you through Perryton, Texas. But if you do, you got to eat a Dixie Dog. It's the place to eat in Perryton, Texas, which is just, it's like an old school, just fried everything. Like, it's like an old school diner, but it's not like a diner. Like, it's even more, like, dive-ish than that. Like, it's dead flies on the window sills all around. Just, like, grease permeating into every surface. Like, it's a pretty disgusting place when you really think about it. But that's what also makes it so freaking good. It's just fried everything. Like, they've just got big deep fryers in the back, and they just drop everything in the grease, and it's the same grease they've been using for 40 years, and it all tastes the same because it's all fried in the same stuff, and it's awesome. So, well, that's the place to eat in Perryton, Texas.
I will tell you right now that that if we continue with this video thing that we're doing, I think there has to be a video road trip at some point.
That would be awesome.
And we need to go to the Dixie Dog. We don't need to go to Perryton for any other reason than to go to the Dixie Dog. And that one of the guys, and I'm not saying this to be racist, but both of these guys are of Mexican descent, right?
Uh-huh.
And so they were also telling me about a Mexican food restaurant in Perryton that's out of the back of somebody's house.
Yeah, I there may be more than one. So I have eaten at one called The General. I don't know if that's the one that they were talking about. But that was literally like, yeah, she lived in the front. She has a room in the back, and there's like two tables, and it's like legit, like, straight up Mexican food that's awesome. And again, no chance that it passes like code whatever, you
right.
know, like, it's one of those places that's just amazing, and you kind of just don't think about all the other stuff around it. So I do have to tell you though, Dixie Dog plays a role in my gamingness. When I was young, my mom actually worked at Dixie Dog, and so I grew up pretty poor. I think we've talked about this on the show before, not that anybody cares. But what that meant is that when my mom was working at Dixie Dog, I went to work with her because we couldn't afford childcare or whatever. And so, like, she would be working, like, you know, an 8-hour shift, and I would just be hanging out at Dixie Dog all day. And they have, like, two rooms in Dixie Dog. And in one room used to, they had a bunch of arcade cabinets. They only have like one or two now. But when I was young, and this was, you know, 30 years ago, nearly at this point, 25 years ago, like, arcade machines were a bigger deal. And so I would just hang out at the Dixie Dog, and they would give me all the quarters I wanted, just walk back to the back, and they'd give me a handful of quarters. And so I'd go get some quarters, and I'd go and play games for a couple hours at a time. And so grew up playing all these old school arcade games when I was 6 years old, hanging out at Dixie Dog. So it's good memories for me.
See, I really feel like we really, at some point, we need to take a tour down there and just do the whole homecoming thing.
Right.
I know you know a lot of people down there, and I'd like to meet some people down there. And I know there's at least three different places we got to eat while we're there.
Yeah.
And if you haven't figured it out in the last 15 minutes, we like food.
We do like food.
Like
big
we,
fans.
We told you at the end of the last show that we could do a sports food podcast. We actually did for a while.
We did.
We could also do a food podcast.
I would thoroughly enjoy that, as it just giving me more reason to eat food. Like,
well,
I will take any excuse I can to eat more food.
You know what? I was telling you about something that I've been doing to help my voice
right.
The last few days. And I think my voice is vastly improved from the last show because of this thing that I've been doing, this natural thing that I've been doing. You know what else it does, which is wonderful?
Huh.
It absolutely kills heartburn.
Nice.
Which I'm like, I can eat again.
That's one of those things of us talking about getting old. There was a point where heartburn wasn't something that I understood because I didn't ever experience it. And then you get to 30, because everything changes at 30, And like all of a sudden I get heartburn. And I'm like, well, this sucks. You know, like, why does my food hate me? Like, why is it making me hurt? Heartburn's the worst.
It's so bad that, like, I've gotten to the point in my life that I'm eating a meal, and I know that there's a stopping point, because when I start having trouble swallowing, it's time to stop. You know, like, when I have issue, when the heartburn starts to kick in, that's it. So, for those of you that are wondering, I'm drinking apple cider vinegar about twice a day, which is the most awful stuff ever, but it does amazing things.
Yeah.
And,
God bless
and
you,
that,
man. That sounds that, like the worst.
It is, but you gotta try it. Because.
But man, it sounds like the worst.
it really, like, I, you know, I've been taking pills, I've been doing all kinds of stuff. And finally, I went to my mom and said, okay, I give up. And she mixed this stuff up, and I drank it. And lo and behold, I'm better. And I was telling you before the show, I'm like, how do you know that this is not going to hurt me? She goes, it's good for you. And I'm like, how do you know? And she goes, I read about it on the interwebs.
And it's
like, if you know my mother, which none of you do, maybe you can describe my mother, but it's that,
she's the
that's,
opposite person you would ever think would use the term interwebs.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Like,
I love your mom. She's a sweet human being. Hearing her say the interwebs sounds amazing.
Yeah, look, I've decided that I'm going to get her on mic and have her do it again. And I don't ever make production for this show because I'm lazy. But if I can get her to do that, just talk about us being on the interwebs, that would be worth making some production.
Yeah.
It really would.
Yeah.
So all that being said, I want to tell you folks right now that we haven't talked about gaming yet, because I know what Tommy has been playing, and it's going to take up the next 50 minutes of your time.
Yes.
So,
before we get into that big thing, I do want to mention, because you brought up Duff, I had a chance to actually pull out the VR and play around with some VR stuff. I hadn't touched it in a little while, and so... I do want to mention, first of all, just thanks to Duff for hooking us up with a Vive in the first place so we can play around with it. And say, the main one I want to talk about, is Star Trek Bridge Crew, which I got a chance to play around
with.
I'm
so excited.
So we definitely need to talk about that. I'll also mention, before we get into that, I finished up, the Arkham VR game, the Batman Rocksteady VR experience. It's only like an hour long. It's not a full game, but my goodness, do they need to make a full game of it. And when they teased whatever like 2 or 3 weeks ago, my hope is that they're working on a fleshed out VR experience. I know that's a pretty niche thing to be working on, but that's, to me, still the best VR experience. It's so well executed. It's so much fun to play. And so, and it gets super creepy and weird at the end. You meet Joker in person, and then there's all this weird psychological stuff, and it screws with your head and could make a really, really intriguing game. So please, more of that, guys, because it's awesome. So but Star Trek Bridge Crew is also awesome. It is a really fun experience in a really weird way. Like, it's really chill and yet really like adrenaline pumping. Like, it's a bizarre thing, because it's like there's no like walking around or anything to it. It's all just sitting there, and so you operate one of four positions. You can be the captain, you can be the engineer, you can be the helmsman, or you can be the like what's it called, the tactical combat person. And so you choose which role you want. Each role has their different kind of duties. And so the helmsman is, you know, steering the ship and picking locations and engaging warps and all this fun stuff. The tactical person is, you know, charging torpedoes and shooting down enemy ships and that kind of stuff. The engineer is allocating resources. And then the captain knows, like, what the objectives are. And so the captain has to communicate all the objectives because nobody else can see what the objectives are, what you're trying to accomplish. And so there's both, like, you can play it with AI where you're always the captain. And so you can then dictate what everybody else has to do. And that's fun, like, just in and of itself as a single-player experience. But I did something crazy that we don't do a ton of. I actually got online and played the thing with people I didn't know, and it was super weird.
Wow, I was hoping you were going to say you played with Duff, but you played with random people?
I know. I need to play with Duff for sure, because that would be cool. But I just wanted to get there'll be an article up soon, because I wanted to get some experience with it to write up a VR article. So you'll be seeing that soon, by the way, so a little tease on that. But before I did that, I wanted to make sure I'd, you know, sampled the multiplayer of it. And so I fired it up, and the first time I got in with just, like, these two random dudes that know each other. And so there were two guys together that, you know, are like buddies that play together often or whatever. And then me and some other random dude that didn't know any of the other people. And we went on a Star Trek mission. And so one of the cool things about it is there's two different starships you can choose from. There's the one for the game itself. I don't remember what it's called. It starts with an A. It has some name. Or you can go out in, like, the, like, old school original series Enterprise. And they're very different, and I did not know this before this game experience, because I'd only ever played with, like, the, you know, one, the ship that you're supposed to be playing with, like, not the classic ship or whatever. And so I was the helms person, and, like, it plays very differently. Like, the modern ship has, like, big screens and stuff, like, it's very visual. And the old school Enterprise is just a bunch of buttons. And so what you do is you just sit there, you have the controllers in your hand, the Vive controllers or the Oculus Touch, I'm sure it works the same way, and you just interact with, like, the console in front of you, pressing buttons and pulling up screens and all that kind of stuff. But literally all this was a bank of buttons, and there was, like, a map, and I had to navigate everything with just a bank of buttons in this map, and it was terribly confusing. But it was also really fun, because none of the other guys had any clue what they were doing either, and so we were just like, don't die, don't die, don't die the whole time, like, don't crash the ship, don't get blown up by Klingons, like, all this stuff is going terribly wrong. And it was a really fun experience with just random strangers, which is not my typical experience with online games. Usually I find people that are just awful and terrible to play with. But these dudes were, like, super cool. We had a good time being the bridge crew of the original Enterprise, which was kind of awesome. Like, it's just a VR experience that's, like, nerdy in all the right ways, you know? Like, it just, like, it was so nostalgic and fun. It was really cool.
If you turn into an online guy, I'm going to have to quit.
No, I wouldn't worry too much about it. I don't think that's going to happen. But I did have a good experience, which I'm pumped about, because I usually have terrible experiences in those kind of things.
Well, I'm glad that you did. And I think part of it is the game that you were playing.
Yeah.
Because the thing with that is, it's like, there is a vast majority of people out there that look at it and go, I don't want to play that. That's stupid.
Yeah.
So the ones that want to play it are there to actually enjoy the experience.
Yes, I agree with that. And at the risk of sounding snobbish, which we shouldn't because we didn't pay for the thing. Again, thank you, Duff. People who pay for an HTC Vive want good experiences too. Like, it's a big investment to play VR games, you know? And so, like, little Johnny gets a PlayStation for Christmas and then is cussing you out in Call of Duty, like, whatever, you know? Like, that's how it works. Little Johnny probably didn't get a high-end PC and an HTC Vive for Christmas. Some little Johnnies did, so I'm sure there's still punks that you'll run into. But this felt like a game. Like, the other dudes I was playing with were obviously, you know, in their 20s or 30s or whatever. You know, like, we were all, like, similar age people. it wasn't like 12-year-old little kid that was like super immature or whatever. You know, like I feel like it's a little bit self-selecting in that way, and which makes me want to play more of Bridge Crew because that was fun and I enjoyed playing with some random people, but also maybe try some other online experiences on the Vive and see if it's a better experience overall, just because it's a little bit more self-selecting, that it's filtered out some of the things I hate about playing games online.
And I hadn't thought of that, but you know, you got to put some money into the Vive, and so that means you have to be an adult. I mean,
ideally,
like,
really spoiled, and so it could go either way. Like, you're either an adult or you're the worst of the little Johnnies, and so luckily, I haven't ran into the worst of the little Johnnies yet, but I'm sure there are some.
Boy, I wonder if there's a band out there called the Little Johnnies.
If I ever start a band, the Little Johnnies, I like it.
That's not bad.
Like, it's not bad.
that's I really good dig stuff. It. Yeah. So I'm glad that went well, and I'm looking forward to getting into that. I imagine I'm going to struggle with it because it uses the controllers for everything.
Yeah, I don't know if there was a mouse and keyboard option on that, it would be cool. I don't know that there is. I hadn't looked into it, but it's possible. What's cool about it is, like, you know, you hold the Vive controllers, and I imagine it'd even be cooler with the Oculus Touch, and ultimately the new grip controllers that they're working on for the Vive, that like catches onto your hand and you have more finger control. Because if I could just reach out with like my hands and be touching buttons as opposed to be like hitting triggers, like it would feel even cooler. You know, it already feels really cool because with the headset on, you look down at your hands, and even though you're holding the controllers, like you just have, you know, in game, it's just your hands and you're reaching out and pressing buttons, and it's very immersive. Like it feels very natural and very cool. And so if you could take away the fact that you're holding on to the controllers, that controllers are just connected to your hands and that's just your finger movement, that would be even better.
Well, you know, if I could use my fingers, I can get that done.
Yeah.
Like, if I could, still not well, but I can do a lot better than what I do with the Vive controllers now. So that probably makes a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine so. So I'm excited about that. So be watching GamingUncensored.com because soon there'll be a whole bunch of VR stuff, an article of VR stuff on there. It's my top 10 VR experiences that I've had personally. So Star Trek Bridge Crew is up there, very near the top.
I am glad for that because it's been another week and I still haven't done crap. because I'll tell you what happened. You know, last time we did this, which was like last week, it's really freaky.
Yeah.
Because we just did a show. I'm really excited. I feel like, wow, this is what it used to feel like when we did this show.
Right.
So last week I was talking about the fact that I hadn't really gotten anything done. And I was going to rededicate myself to playing games on a daily basis. And of course, on the daily basis part, I failed. But when I did sit down to play more, considerably more, however, I made a small mistake. And I upgraded my graphics drivers on my machine. And so I decided to record the end of Life is Strange Episode 4, and I'm going along there, and I'm like, sweet, I'm going to get this done, it's going to be awesome, I'm going to start Episode 5, and I'm going along, and my system blue screens, like, in the middle of the game, which has not happened. I've had trouble, but I've been able to game and do whatever I wanted to do. And so I reboot, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to record because, you know, that video is obviously not any good, so why not? I'm just not going to worry about it. I'm just going to play. And so I'm playing along there, and it locks up again. So thank you, NVIDIA. I am waiting for new drivers to solve that little issue. But right now, gaming is a little herky jerky, as it were. So
that's unfortunate.
I'm not doing nearly as much as I would like to be doing. However, I stand by what I said last week. I'm going to do more, and thanks to you, I have done more today. Especially, I've spent about 3 hours watching a really, really, really fabulous game.
Yes.
And it's kind of one of those things that's like, you know, there's not often in my life that I hate the fact that I have to stop and do this show because I like this show. But like, 5 o'clock came along, which is the time at which we are doing the show today, which, by the way, it's Friday, which is weird for us.
That is weird.
But I kind of like it because it feels like when we were on the radio back in the day.
It does, yeah.
So,
for sure.
So like, the time for us to start rolling around, and I'm watching this, and I'm like, crap, I gotta quit. And I'm like, that's when you know you've got yourself a really good game when all you want to do is binge. And as much as I like games, that doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
And so I can tell you right now that I hope, and I'm not going to hold you to this because it would be mean, but I hope every time you turn that thing on, you hit record.
Well, I mean, I have so far. It's super easy to do, so I wouldn't imagine me not. There's no good reason not to. So
this is one of those games, and we talk about these occasionally, that I want to see everything.
Yeah,
like, yeah. I want to see every inch of it. And of course, the game that we are talking about, all of you are gonna like be upset and roll your eyes.
Because we're so late to the party.
Yes. We are talking about Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
And man, it is good.
It is really good. I am thoroughly enjoying that game. It did take me a little bit to get into it. I dug the little prologue part of it. You play as Aloy as a young girl at the very beginning of the game, and it gives some of the background and all this stuff. But then after that little prologue segment, I don't know why I couldn't get it going for quite a while. To be fair, it was in the midst of a whole bunch of other games. I've had the game sitting around for a while at this point. And so I just couldn't get going on it for a while. And then I guess it was about a week ago that I said, I've just got to sit down and play this game because it's going to be really good. People that I know have good taste in games say it's really good. Chad and Cabbage both going nuts over this game, talking about how great it is. Like, we've got to play it. And so finally I just said, screw it, I'm going to sit down and play the game. And it took about 20 minutes. I was like, okay, yeah, I'm into this. This is pretty great. And now I'm like super into it. You're bummed that we stopped to record the show. I'm bummed that I left town for 3 days and couldn't bring it with me. And so I'm jonesing to get back and play some more of it because I'm really, really digging it.
Okay, so let's talk about this because I've been watching it for I got in the standing frame this morning and actually did that while I'm in the standing frame.
Nice.
which pissed me off because I was hurting so bad that I couldn't really enjoy it. But I did. I spent an hour and a half in the standing frame watching Horizon, and we talk about this for a very, very few select games, but this is a game to me that is like the best TV show on TV, right? it's like watching Breaking Bad or How I Met Your Mother or one of those that like you start watching it and you just can't stop.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about, like, you and I love The Walking Dead, right? But to me, this is a completely different level, because I watch a couple of the episodes of The Walking Dead, and I'm like, okay, that's it. I got to take a break.
Yeah.
This thing, I don't like. I hope you keep putting up 2-hour segments, because I don't want to watch anything until it's over. Like, you can forget all the crap on my DVR. This thing is absolutely compelling. And the thing that freaks me out is I can't tell you why it's compelling.
Yeah. There is something to that. Like the story's good, and the gameplay is good, and, like, it's really pretty. It's a very pretty game. It's definitely got that going for it. But, I really just think it's the environmental part of it. Like, it's mechanical dinosaurs, and you fight them. And there's just something, like...
And you ride them, which I just saw, right? Which is fantastic.
Which is also a lot of fun. Yeah, that's just like pure fun. Like, there's just something really cool about that world. And so I think it's as much as anything else, just the fact that it's this really cool world that's drawn me in. I really like Aloy as a character.
Yes!
I really, really enjoy her as a character. I really like the fact that it's a female protagonist. I think that offers a cool perspective on the game. And I think that she's a well-developed character. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like her depth. It's also a little bit Mass Effect-y in that you kind of can play your dialogue choices at least how you want. Like, some of the dialogue choices have, like, the, like, sarcastic option or the compassionate option or, like, the cerebral option or whatever. Like, so you can kind of choose what her personality is through that. And so, and I've actually found myself, because my natural inclination is something like that, is because I personally am a logical thinker. I'm not a super emotional person, and I'm not a, like, bitter, spiteful person. I don't usually relate with those things. And so in those, like, decision heavy kind of narrative, something like a Mass Effect or a Knights of the Old Republic, that you kind of get to choose the path that you go on or whatever. Like, my choices and my characters always kind of follow the same trajectory, because that's just my natural inclination. I have a hard time of playing outside of that. And that's true too for Horizon, except for I found, like, myself where I would typically just always pick the cerebral option. There were a few times that I feel like the compassionate option makes sense here, or I feel like the more, like, aggressive option makes sense here. And so I've actually, as me getting to develop the character in a way, I've personally developed her as a more complex character than the characters that I typically construct in those kind of games, which I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's something that they did in the design that compelled me to do that, but I'm actually really enjoying that aspect of it, that I kind of like her as a more complex character that has these layers, instead of maybe my more one-dimensional characters that are honestly a much better reflection on me personally, which maybe says something about me personally, but whatever, I'm really enjoying it.
Well, and see, I'm the opposite. I'm the emotional guy that has all the crap, and
right,
you know, like I'm up and I'm down, and, you know, whatever, and you know, if you and I are talking about something, it's really funny, because, you know, I know that there are certain things that you really care about, because when you really care about something, you ask me lots of questions.
Right.
And so, but me, I'm up and I'm down, and I got this going on, and this happened, and that happened, and whatever. But I'll tell you why you're feeling what you're feeling, because I noticed it, and I'm glad that you brought up the character of Aloy, because Aloy is one of the, I can't believe I'm about to say this, because this game just came out, but Aloy is one of the most well-rounded characters that I can remember in a while. Like she is female. She's obviously emotional toward Rust. She's obviously emotional about being the outcast and the person that she is. She is obviously extremely tough. She is obviously extremely smart. So all of these facets are built in the character to start, right? Like, it's not like this Lara Croft character that's like, I'm going to go raid some dunes and kill some stuff. And if you're lucky, you might get to see me in a bathing suit later. Like, you know, like, it's not that kind of thing. Like, Aloy is like, she can go kill some stuff. But you also, when you think about her, it's like, okay, you could see her in a cabin somewhere with a guy being happy. And having kids and the whole thing, you know? Yeah. And so I think, and I don't know how they did that other than the character, like I said, is probably the most well-rounded character I've seen in a while, and she is voiced perfectly. I don't know who that voice is, but I know her from somewhere.
Yeah,
and I just really think as far as the character goes, Aloy is right on point.
Yeah,
and that's what it is.
And getting even a little bit deeper into that, and potentially into controversial territory here, but I really think this is true. I think one of the things that I like a lot about the game, not only as a female protagonist, but as a female protagonist, that it doesn't feel as sexualized. You know what I'm saying? Like, Lara Croft was sexualized, you know? Like, from the very beginning, that is part of the appeal of Lara Croft. And you can like her as a character outside of that. You can be a straight woman and like her as a character for other reasons than that. And I totally get that. We were adolescents. I was an adolescent whenever Tomb Raider, the original Tomb Raider, came out. And I admit, and I've said this before on the show, I wasn't into the series. I've never really been into Tomb Raider. I don't think I've ever played through a full Tomb Raider game.
I was.
But I had a good friend, our boy Nathan, who was on this show a long time ago, my roommate in college, one of my best friends growing up, that was way into Tomb Raider. And one of the reasons is he thought Lara Croft was kind of hot, you know, and she had big breasts, and that was a thing, you know, like there was a reason that she was designed that way. I haven't seen anything thus far in Horizon that has sexualized Aloy in any way that I've noticed. Maybe I've missed it, but I haven't had that sense at all, and it's. I think it helps me see her as a deeper character and not as a kind of gaming trope. You know what I'm saying? I think that's a big deal. And I'm not saying there's no other examples of that in games. There definitely are. But even like in the Mass Effect series, I feel like a lot of the female characters are overly sexualized. And it just doesn't feel that way with Horizon.
Well, I think what's amazing to me is, And don't, because I completely agree with everything that you just said, but I'm going to take the other side of that. Everything that you just said is true, but they also wrote her in a way, she's a complex character in a way that in that if you really think about it and you really look at it, she is sexy. Like, I remember the first conversation that you had with Owen, or not Owen, the other guy from the other tribe, was like, what are you doing here? And she's like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, damn, look at you, man. I mean, you got all this stuff going on. You got skills, you got a brain, and well, you're kind of hot. And I got to thinking as I'm watching that, I'm like, man, he's right. She's like, that's a girl right there.
Yeah.
And so they walked a very, very, very fine line with that. And honestly, I don't think they did it on purpose. I think they got lucky.
Yeah.
Because if you try, you're not going to get that.
Right. And I think, I do think there's something intentional to that. Also, like that the fact that they didn't try, knowing that that would be a beneficial thing. Because you're absolutely right. She's wonderfully intriguing as a character because she has depth and she's interesting and there's a lot more personality there. Like that there is something that's sexy and attractive about that that's different than putting her in scantily clad armor, which she's not, and I appreciate a ton. And I hope that there's not scantily clad armor in the game. There may be. But I appreciate the fact that that's like, and none of the other characters are in scantily clad armor, that it's just something that's more real in a game about mechanical dinosaurs and like old tech and like whatever, like it's an absurd thing. But I mean, that's honestly for depth and character development, you want something that's relatable and it's relatable. And I dig it.
Can I also say again, the other side of that, I hope that someone in the game, like, I don't care about scantily clad armor or whatever, but you're out in nature and with all this stuff going on, there are rivers, there's stuff going on, and so I'm not going to be shocked if at some point in the game, like, She's gotta like take a dip in the river, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying that to be a guy. What I'm saying is that would be something that would happen if you were out doing what she was doing.
So you know.
If it happens. Right. If it happens, I'm okay with that. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense to you? I think that's part of what I like about this environment. I remember when we played Skyrim, and the way that we talked about Skyrim and still talk about Skyrim is that environment is living and breathing, okay? And I still believe that. And the environment in Horizon is that times 10. Like, yeah. There's all kinds of stuff going on. And so, like I said, it makes sense to me. Like, she's out in the middle of nowhere. There's probably going to be some stuff, and it would make sense. Because that environment is breathing around her.
Yeah,
By the way, I love it.
Yeah, I agree. By the way, the woman who plays that voices Aloy, her name is Ashley Birch. She just so happens to also be the voice of Chloe in Life is Strange. And so, yeah, you should recognize the voice.
Yeah, see, I was pretty sure, yeah.
So, Ashley Birch is kind of dominating your life right now.
Yeah, I'm liking her.
Yeah, she's super talented. Chloe's a great character in Life is Strange, and she did very well with that, too.
I gotta be honest, I like Aloy better than I like Chloe, but Chloe's not bad.
Chloe's a character that you kind of love, hate, or hate, love. Like, she's a challenging character as well. There's a lot of depth there.
Right. So.
But that makes sense.
So, a couple of things I want to talk to you about, because I've now watched roughly 2.5 hours of this game, right? And I think it is probably one of the most seamless experiences as far as a game goes that is easy to watch that I've ever seen. Like, you and I have grown up our entire life watching Metal Gear, and we love Metal Gear. But Metal Gear is not seamless.
Yeah.
Especially Metal Gear 4. It's like, you play for a little while.
The least seamless game ever.
Right, like, you play for a little while, and then there's a half-hour cutscene. Yeah. And then you play for a little while, and then there's another half-hour cutscene. Like Horizon, you play for 2 minutes, and then there's a 2-minute cutscene. And then you play for 20 minutes, and then there's a 5-minute cutscene. And, like, it's very much like Uncharted in that it feels like you are watching a movie. And you, like, with this game, I could get a box of popcorn, I could sit in a recliner and just watch it and enjoy it. And that's not something that happens that often. And Uncharted does it, but Uncharted doesn't even do it as well as Horizon does it.
Yeah, the difference to me is the open worldness of Horizon, whereas Uncharted definitely isn't that way. Uncharted is very linear. It's very, very cinematic. That's what they built the whole game on. This is very cinematic, too, but it also has that big open world exploration and side quest thing. And so, there's more just getting lost in the world that happens, which makes the world feel more a part of the experience. Uncharted is fabulous, and so don't hear us say anything about Uncharted that it's not fabulous. But the world of Uncharted isn't something. I mean, the environments are cool, like they're fun because they're like these, you know, ruins that you can jump around, the platforming element, and it's pretty and it's very cinematic in how it shows it to you. But they're all kind of the same thing. Like, it's these environments of, like, ruins and wonderment or whatever. But none of them, like, ever feel like... I can't tell you the names of, like, the ancient cities in Uncharted.
You know what it is?
Off the top of my head.
The levels in Uncharted are stages.
Yes.
Like, that's what they are. They're stages.
And they're not a world.
And Nathan Drake is the actor.
Yes.
And this thing, it's like, you're right, every nook and cranny of it has something. And I know that Cabbage has talked about this with The Witcher 3, and I have not started The Witcher 3 yet. I know I need to, because he has talked about how it lives and breathes, and there's stuff to do and stuff going on. And you'll have to tell me, because I can't say anything because I haven't played The Witcher 3, but I feel like that this probably does the environment thing as good or better than anything else out there.
Yeah, I think that's a good comparison, The Witcher 3 and Horizon, in that they're these big open worlds that have this fantasy element to them. They're very different games in just the approach. But yeah, they both feel like living worlds in a similar way. It's an interesting comparison. I don't know that I would say one does it better than the other. They're both phenomenal examples of how to do it. The Witcher 3 is just such a good game. Like, I'm going to have to get a lot deeper into Horizon before I could start putting it in a conversation with The Witcher 3. The Witcher 3 is phenomenal.
You know what I'm excited about, though, and this is why you're not allowed to play it unless you hit record. I'm excited because I can already tell, and you're right, you got a long way to go, but you are going to put 60 some hours into this. And the thing is that you're not a side quest guy, but the way that the side quests work, I think you're going to want to do them, because it's a lot like Skyrim in that way.
Yeah.
In that you just want to explore.
Can we let's talk about that a little bit, because I want to stop being the not a side quest guy for this reason. Side quests have gotten to be really good. Once upon a time, most games had a lot of tacked on, go and fetch kind of side quest stuff. And a lot of games still do that, and I get pretty tired of that pretty quickly and won't follow through with that kind of stuff. But a lot of games have now made the narrative that you get, the more you learn about the world and the side quests, and maybe Skyrim was this turning point for me because Skyrim did this so incredibly well, that I, without the benefit of opening up the menu and seeing in my quest log which one is marked as a side quest and which one's marked as a main quest, I wouldn't consider them different. And I think The Witcher 3 did that really well. Zelda did that really well, even though it didn't have super deep side quests. There was still enough interest in some of those that I wasn't thinking in those terms necessarily. And so far, Horizon has done that really well. That just the idea of it being a quote-unquote side quest doesn't enter my mind. I find a person, they're saying, hey, I need you to do this, or I need help, or this is a thing. And I'm like, oh, as this character, it makes sense that you would go and do this thing. And so I go and do the thing because it's part of the narrative, it's part of the story. Like, I get experience for it, cool. But I don't take the quest and go do it thinking I'm going to get experience. I take the quest and I go do it because I'm interested in the narrative side of it. And then I suddenly level up and go, oh, awesome, I get a new skill, you know? But it wasn't ever with that end in mind. And so, if you can do that well in a game, I do side quests in like the Far Cry games. I do side quests in Metal Gear because I really enjoy the content of them. If you can pull that off, you're going to get me for all that stuff. And I really think more often than not now, these big AAA titles do that better. And thus, I see a whole lot more of the content of a game than I used to, because at one point it was just a whole bunch of like grinding stuff. And I'm not as into the grinding stuff, especially now where I have so little time to play games. I'm not going to waste my gaming time of, you know, going and killing enemies for 2 hours to try to level up. Like, when I was young and playing Final Fantasy VII, like, that was cool. Like, that was part of the experience, as you went and grinded for a while so you could go take on the boss. Well, I don't have any interest in that as a 34-year-old. Like, you got to give me more stuff quicker. My attention span is short for lots of reasons. And
I have 8 billion other games to play.
Exactly. If you're not maximizing, you know, my time in your game, I'm going to go play something else.
Right, and that's what, and I've talked about it multiple times, and I haven't picked it up for several weeks, even a couple of months because of this. But that's where I'm struggling with Max Payne, is like, I don't have time for this. And it's not a side quest problem with Max Payne 3. It's the game mechanics and game design. Like, I don't have time to repeat a level 30 times because I don't have the reflexes to do what I need to do. I don't have time. And so I'm glad that you want to become not a side quest. You know, I'm glad that you want to become a side quest guy, because I think games like this, like, I want to get every ounce of story that there is. And we need to talk about that, because you haven't played enough of the game yet to know if the story is really great, but I'll tell you that I am intrigued.
Yes.
Because how did all this metal crap come around? And
yes,
you got this village with these very, very, very tribal people that are very, very afraid of technology in any way, and like, how did we get here? That's what I want to know.
Yes.
So you're like 12 or 15 hours in. I'm like 4 hours into watching you play. And for the first time in a while, I'm like, I want to know what the deal is with this story. So like, every side quest that you can get, or every little thing that I can watch you play that will help with the story I'm all in about. And yes. One thing that I love that they did, and I swear I'm going to let you talk in a minute, but I want to know if you noticed this. I am, certain games like Skyrim and Deus Ex does it, which I used to really like, and I kind of don't like it so much anymore because I'm old and my time is limited and I just don't really have the attention span. Is in Skyrim, there's a ton of stuff to read. In Deus Ex, there's a ton of stuff to read. You have not read a single thing in Horizon so far that I have seen, and I don't feel like I said, I'm only 4 hours in, but I don't feel like I'm missing some part of the lore because I didn't read that book over there.
Yeah, that's a really interesting observation. I had not thought about that, but you're absolutely right. Skyrim, and I would put Mass Effect in there too. That does a lot of that, of like scanning things and getting information that tells you lore. I skip almost all that stuff because I don't have the attention span. I'm too ADD to read the kind of lore aspects of it. And Fallout does that to a certain degree. Like, there's a lot of games that depend on that kind of mechanism to fill in some of the lore.
I want the lore. I want all the stuff. I'm just getting to the point where I'm like,
give it to me in a different way.
Right.
I want it too. Yeah, I definitely want to get it, but I don't want to get it in a tome sitting on a table that, like, I have to flip through 5 pages worth of text for that. I'm honestly going to skim and not comprehend much of it or whatever. I want it through narrative and through storytelling. I think you're right. I think Horizon has done a pretty good job. And maybe it doesn't have the depth of lore because of that, because it hasn't spent like a ton of time of just filling you in on the backstory, but it's kind of efficiently giving you hints here and there, letting you fill in some of the picture and not forcing you to sit and read if you want a deeper story element to it. Huh? Yeah. That's a really interesting point. I like that. I like that way of thinking. I'm glad you brought that up.
Because seriously, I really don't feel like I'm missing anything yet. And if I want to know more, I feel like they're gonna give me the entire story. I'm gonna get everything that I want to know if I just keep playing.
Yeah.
And that's really, really cool. Like, I don't know how The Witcher 3 does it. I'm sure there's stuff to read.
Yeah, for sure.
But but this I really like, because I know we're going to find out where the machines came from. I know we're going to find out what the deal is with Aloy. I know we're going to figure out where all of these people came from. And
yeah,
it's going to be very intriguing, because you got people walking around. I've just found out. That control machines, and then you've got people that walk around that don't.
Right.
And they're scared to death. So so it's going to be really interesting, and I just love that you're kind of in there and you don't have to pick up a book and read and try and figure out.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I dig that a lot, too. I'm digging the game. I'm looking forward to getting back into it. Also, when I get back, I'm probably going to have Destiny 2 waiting for me as well. And so I don't know where I'm going to find time to game, but I've got to find some time to game, because there are way too many good games out there.
Can we, and I know we talk about this a lot, but I think we are getting to the point, and I don't know where we're going to get money or the availability to do this, but you and I are getting to the point with this show that I think it would greatly benefit us, and we've been joking about it for 10 years, but I think it would greatly benefit us to get together at some point for like a week and just play games. And I know that we do that at E3, but we do that around other stuff. And oh, yeah. we got this going on and we got that going on. And like, I really think it would be a benefit to this show if you and I could get like a week of vacation and literally lock ourselves in a room with a box of pizza and some alcohol and just play games for a week straight. And you know, we've joked about that forever, but I think we would get some really awesome content out of it if we ever got a chance to do that. Because, like, this game is a great example. This is one of those, and we're at the age where you don't do this anymore. But right now, I'm wishing that I had a smart TV in my house so that when I go to bed tonight, I could just leave Horizon Blank. Like, this is one of those that you know, I'm 38 years old. I don't do this anymore. But if you and I are in the same room, we're up till 2 or 3 a.m. playing this thing because you don't want to put it down.
Yeah.
And we're too old to be doing that at this point.
Right.
But this is one of those titles that we would. And so I really, between that and The Witcher 3, because I'm looking forward to playing The Witcher 3, but Horizon and The Witcher 3, and even to some extent Fallout 4, I think it would greatly benefit us to sit in the same room and sort of quote-unquote pass the controller like we used to do, because that's right. How we grew up. We had these titles that I think are built for that now.
Yeah.
And I think it would make some absolutely compelling Patreon content. So if you want to see that, guys, help us figure out how to do that. We both need a paycheck out of it. But I think I think we're getting to the point with this show that seriously, it'd be a lot of fun to just lock yourself in a room for a week and play games, and not have to worry about anything else. So that being said, you're excited to get home and get back to Horizon. You've got Destiny coming. What are you most looking forward to? Like, you're 12, 15 hours into this experience. What do you think that you want to get out of it?
I want the narrative to be good. You know, like the gameplay, let me say this. I don't love how the game controls.
No, it's not great. It's kind of
you've
quirky.
Seen me struggling with some of the kind of climbing mechanics and getting around and that kind of stuff. The combat, while like the stealthy kind of combat stuff, I really dig the bow and arrow stuff. I really dig the close quarters like combat. I don't know how. Like, maybe there's a mechanic that I'm missing in it that would make it work a little bit better. I don't love it. Also, because like it does feel like Breath of the Wild, and like it, in a lot of ways, even though they're very different games, like that. There is a feeling of overlap between those. And so I want it to navigate like Breath of the Wild, where I can just climb everything. And you can't. It's so hard for me to figure out what I can climb and what I can't climb. And so I just end up like up against a cliff, like jumping, hoping she'll grab onto something.
And she never does.
And it just drives me nuts.
He's not joking. Like, you got to the point in the proving where you're trying to take out the guys because they're killing everybody. And you got up against that cliff and you're just jumping.
She's just like hopping up and down.
Right. Like, it is.
Come on, lady, get up there. So there's little mechanical elements like that that I don't think either work great for the game, or that I just like my expectations different from playing Breath of the Wild, which I thought controlled so well. That it's a hurdle to get over that stuff. Like, it feels clunky in that way. Yet I don't care. Like, it's not pushing me away from the game. I'm still itching to go back and play it because I love the character, I love the world, and I want to know what happened with the story. It reminds me of the Shannara books, or Shannara, I don't know how people say that word. There was a MTV series. I hope it's gone. I never watched it. Whatever. But I love the Shannara books, which are you know, Lord of the Rings ripoff, essentially, but very, very similar worlds with dwarves and elves and that kind of stuff.
You know, but you one know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
One of the story elements of the Shannara books is the same kind of thing that, like, it's medieval fantasy kind of vibe, but in reality, the Shannara books take place way in the future, and, like, the modern technology world blew itself up, and so these are people that are living in the future, but is in this fantasy kind of environment that feels like medieval fantasy because we screwed everything over. And so it has that same kind of vibe that Horizon does of, like, you want to know, like, what did we do to ourselves? You know, like, what was it that made us blow ourselves up in this, and how did some people survive that? And so it's a really intriguing way to frame a story.
I was just going to mention, I'm glad that you brought those books up, because when I'm not watching you play video games, I'm currently reading the Wheel of Time series. I don't know if you've
very nice
seen that series, but, yeah. But there's like 15 books in that series, and I'm in book 10. And
nice.
I'm telling you, man, if you haven't read those, they are really good.
Yeah, I've read some of them. I don't remember how far I got into it. It's been a while. But yes, very nice.
Wheel of Time's really good. And I mentioned it to to the two guys that I work with that I told you are from your hometown. And I told them, and I shouldn't say this, but I really feel like it's on the level with the Lord of the Rings. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's on that level. And they, like, I said that, and they were like, oh, how can you say that? But it really is on that level. I love those books. I'm 10 books in, which they're big books. I mean, they're not small. They're very, very large. And so that's the kind of stuff that we dig. And I think that's why I'm into this environment in Horizon, because it's that same sort of deal. Like, there's no wizards, there's none of that, but you just feel like there's going to be some magic happening if you just wait long enough.
Yeah.
Like, and as in magic, like, I don't know what that means, whether it's some sort of technology, something going on, but like I said, it's very intriguing with the way that they did it, and you said it perfectly. You want to know how they got here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I'm excited to find out. I'm excited for more narrative, more of the cinematic storyline stuff, and more exploring. So one of the things that you haven't seen yet, because it was like the last thing I've done, was like raiding this mining camp that the guys that attacked during the proving have. And so I like the aspect of both the kind of mechanical dinosaur fighting them, but also that you're fighting other non-player characters, other human characters in the game, that there's, like, there's different levels of AI because of that, the more sentient, the less sentient kind of characters with it. And so, and the fact that they like intertwine, and so you can be both fighting dinosaurs and people at the same time, and all this stuff.
Oh, so, hey, yeah. You know what? We need to mention that. They did AI really well. I've been struggling with AI lately. I've been playing Deus Ex Mankind Divided, and it really bothers me because there can be, like, you know, 100 feet between you and a guy, and they're like, oh, I see you. And that started in Far Cry. Far Cry started doing that. Like, you could be across a field from a guy and they're like, I'm going to shoot you.
Right.
It drives me insane. What I love about Horizon, at least so far, is that the machines are smart, but they're not that smart. And yeah. And I'm not, like, I don't want a dumb game, but I've been struggling. I struggled in Far Cry, and I've been struggling in Mankind Divided, in that the guys are like, hey, I see you, and you're not getting away. Like, that kind of bothers me. I don't know why. Do you feel the same way about Horizon? I feel like the AI is about perfect.
I do, too. I think it's well-balanced. And I think it's probably going to scale up more as we both encounter different types of dinosaurs, because even with the limited array of different types of mechanical beasts at this point, like, they do have different levels of sentience, of awareness, and so that's cool. And with the other human characters in the game, like, I think they're well-balanced. There was I came across a settlement, a bandit camp, and I was like, oh, it's like Far Cry, and I started trying to take it out, and then I figured out how many enemies there were in the camp after I used a bunch of arrows to kill a bunch of them, and then I'm like, oh, I'm not even close, screw this, I'm leaving. But it was fun, just the little interaction I had there, because they saw me, they were intelligent enough to kind of follow my movements, but it wasn't like unfair. Like, I was able to get away and hide somewhere else and confuse them, not in a way that felt like cheesy, like they're like, oh, all right, well, she's gone, whatever, you know, but also not in a way like that,
not like
they
Far Cry,
magically
which
knew where I was.
Far Cry is like, we see you and there's nothing you can do to get away now,
right? Like, you obviously break line of sight, you circle back around, you get somewhere where they shouldn't know where you're at, and they're still shooting you, and you're like, come on, guys, like, you don't know I'm here other than the fact that the code tells you I'm here. Like, it doesn't feel like AI, it feels like an arcade game at that point, that you're fighting against the algorithm, not fighting against this in-game character, which is a weird differentiation, but whatever. I made it, and so there it is.
I love it when we do that. Like, we're professionals.
Fight
but
the
we're
algorithm. What another good band name. So yeah, we got the Little Johnnies and Fight the Algorithm.
That's not bad. I like it.
We got our folk band and our heavy metal band.
That is not bad. I like it. That is cool. Now
I kind of want to start a podcast called Fight the Algorithm. I don't even know what it's about. I just like that name.
Dude, we need another podcast. Like, seriously, we need another podcast. We need another reason to put these mics on. So,
right.
So whatever you want to do, let's go. Like,
there you go.
I don't. As long as you don't make me solve an algorithm, I'm all good.
Right.
Like, that's going to be painful.
Isn't that the truth? By the way, and then we'll get into the news after this, I promise, because we do have some news, not a ton, but a little bit of news. But one of the things that I'm doing that I did in Memphis today is I'm teaching my first ever master's class. And so we're piloting a master's degree program. And so I have one student in a master's degree class. And so we had our first class meeting today.
One and guy? Really?
One girl, actually.
Oh, one girl.
Awesome. One girl. But she came through the program, and so I've had her as a student for several years. I know her well, and so it's good to have her as kind of the guinea pig for this class, because she knows how I teach, and I can be honest with her about, like, oh, this didn't work very well, we're going to adjust things or whatever. So that's neither here nor there. The class is an acoustics class, and so it is very math heavy. And so I spent my morning teaching logarithms and formulas and calculating modal resonance in rooms and that kind of stuff. And so I've had my share of solving for today, for sure.
Yeah, I don't, that doesn't even sound interesting.
I gotta be honest with you, I love it. I think it's fascinating. Acoustics is my favorite part of what I do. I find it fascinating, and so it's easy.
I love acoustics. I just don't want to do the math.
Right.
When
that's
you,
it.
when you're doing acoustics, you have to do the mask.
Right.
But
it's a necessary component of it. But I love that it's practical and it's problem solving. It's just that logical part of my thinking, you know, like it's fun for me to solve stuff. And so it's very much problem solving. And so anyway, fight the algorithm, man. Fight the algorithm.
I love it. I love it. I love the fact that you have two masters and you're teaching a master's class.
It's great. I'm enjoying it. So it's a new thing for me, but it's fun. So
yeah. I don't even know where to go with that. Like, I just hope that when you're retired and when you have a consulting gig and you're making like 200 grand a year because you're consulting and you've done all this stuff, I hope you remember your handicapped friend who has been here from when you had nothing. And you know, maybe we can just kind of hang out and play games together. Because
that does sound nice.
That's what's going to happen most likely.
I like it.
Yeah. Oh.
All that being said, we don't have a segment today. Not that we don't have a segment. We actually do. We'll get to it on the next show. Just technologically on the road, that's a little more difficult to do. So we're just going to jump right into the news and push on through. But before we do that, let me mention our Patreon supporters, Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, and our boy Chad, finally on the list. Thank you guys so much for your support. We appreciate that. And if you want to support us on Patreon, get early access to content, or participate on the roundtable every month, you can do that by going by gamingcensored.com and clicking on that Patreon link right there at the top of the page.
We got to start thinking about Patreon content for Christmas because you're coming back. I assume we're going to put the command center back together and, yeah, and we're going to do stuff for Patreon, but that is sneaking up on us, sir.
Yes, it is. It's coming pretty quick. One of the things to consider doing, another game that we need to talk about that there's a little bit of news on, is we need to do a playthrough of Cuphead, because I want you to see all the way through that game. I finished that game since last we did a show, which is nice because it's not terribly long, it's just terribly hard. But it's phenomenal. That would be a fun thing to just sit down and truck through Cuphead and do a bunch of stuff on that. So something to think about.
I'm excited about that because I saw a little bit of Cuphead, but I know I saw not nearly enough.
Yeah.
So, yes, yeah. I'm definitely interested in that for sure.
That would be a lot of fun. And so, yeah. All that being said, we should probably do some news, shouldn't we?
News.
Let me mention, just because I mentioned Cuphead already, we'll just get this one out of the way. Cuphead, amazingly, 2 weeks after being released, hit 1 million copies, which is pretty phenomenal for an indie game. Like that's a big deal and well deserved. It's one of the best put together, most fun indie titles I've played in a long, long time. So, props to those guys. MDHR is the name of the studio. They killed it with the game, and so every bit of success that they're having off of this, they well deserve.
Dude, what could we do that we could sell 1 million copies of?
I know, right?
You have
spent 5 years drawing cup figures by hand.
You have something in your hand that I hope will sell a lot of copies, but it ain't gonna sell 1 million. that's why I gave it to you, because I think it's going to sell pretty good if I can get the whole grammar thing figured out. You know, I don't do that.
Right.
And so I gave it to you because that's kind of your thing.
Grammar is a cool mistress.
So, yeah, exactly. That's exactly. You want to know what happened? Here's what happened. I wrote everything that you're going to read. And by the way, folks, we're not being cryptic. We're talking about my book that I'm trying to get released. I wrote everything that you're going to read. And then Evie went back and rewrote it and made it sound a whole lot better. But it's still not good. So So I gave it to you to clean up the ground. Good, because it sounds good now, but I'm like, do I need a comma there? Is that, does that need to happen? And I honestly, truthfully, I have to tell you, I don't know. Like, I've read through it probably 10 times, and I continue to find mistakes. And finally, it's like, okay, I gotta send this to Tommy because he's gonna get a good majority of these that I totally miss because I'm a space cadet. So I'm hoping that you find time to look through that and that you don't hate it. I hope it's actually good, and maybe we can do something with that, because I would really like something to happen to help us to pay for studio space, so we have a place to go and play games and so on. Yeah. So, that's coming. It's going to be very interesting. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I have a book. And no, it's not 8,000 pages long. It's about 50. So for those of you that have ADD, Brigham, and probably
me.
Yeah, and you. It's not going to take forever, I promise.
Which is a good thing.
50 pages is not that bad.
That's not that bad. Not at all. So, all that being said, you want to talk about some news?
Let's do it.
So, we're going to start with loot boxes. That sounds exciting, right?
Can we just say that there are these different companies out there selling these different boxes with stuff in them that you get every month? And if somebody gave me one of these boxes, I would probably think they were great. But as of right now, I just don't get it. Do you get it? Because I don't get it.
I don't get it either. And so the idea here is that, like, well, they work different from game to game, and so they're not all the same. But the general idea seems to be that there's some tie-in on a lot of these where you have to spend some money in order to get the stuff. And so the idea is, I've seen this specifically playing Rocket League, that, like, when you play the game, you unlock different things. Like, when you win, sometimes you get, like, a new flag that you can put on your car. You get some new racing stripes or a new paint scheme or whatever, which in the first place, that's not really my thing. Like, I don't really care about that stuff. And so I'm like, cool, whatever. Unless it's, like, once every 100 times, I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, one of them was a companion cube from Portal that you could put as a little, like, flag on the back of your car. And I was like, that's awesome, because I love Portal. And so I did it, you know, like, and so it got me once, because I'm a sucker for Portal. But there's a million other things that's either just goofy stuff, like a smiley face or whatever, like Rick and Morty stuff, which I've never gotten into Rick and Morty, so it doesn't mean anything to me. Apparently it's a big deal. People really like it, but it's not my thing. And so, like, stuff like that, I just, like, I want to play the game to have the experience of the game. But one of the things that happens in Rocket League is that sometimes you get a loot box, or whatever they call them in the game, as one of those gifts. And I got that one time, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder what's inside this box that I just got. And so I go into the menu to, like, open the box, and it's like, it'll be $5 to open this box, or whatever it is. I don't remember, because I was like, that's dumb, and I didn't ever pay any attention to it again, because that seems like a stupid thing to me. And so, but it was, you know, some, like, level of real money that it wanted me to pay in order to get the content of this box that it's not telling me what it is. And that's kind of the trick here, is that you don't know what's in these boxes, and so it could be something really cool for the game. Depending on the game, it might be like something that actually makes you better at the game, like a weapon or something like that, armor or whatever, that legit gives you an advantage in the gameplay. Or it could be something that you already have that you found in a different box, or it could be something that's just kind of lame, that's maybe cosmetic and something you're not into, like a Rick and Morty skin when you don't really care about Rick and Morty or whatever. And so there's this question that came up about them that the ESRB kind of tackled about whether or not this classifies as gambling. Because for the ESRB, like a game that has actual gambling in it automatically gets an adults-only rating because there's laws about gambling. You can't gamble if you're underage or whatever. And so there's this kind of question of if you have to pay money, real money, to maybe get something of value and maybe not get something of value, does that constitute gambling? Well, the ESRB ultimately said it's not, that the loot boxes are not. Gambling doesn't fall into their definition of gambling, and as such, doesn't necessitate an adults-only rating. And the argument was you always get something, and so the idea would be if it was gambling, you would pay money with the potential of not getting anything. And these always give you something. You can always get value out of it, essentially. And so in that way, it's not technically gambling. And that seems like a fair, if not, you know, kind of silly aside for this whole thing. I don't think games with loot boxes should necessarily only receive an adult-only rating. But I do think the system's kind of stupid, right? Like, and I think you and I agree on this. One of the things that's super annoying about Rocket League is you get into a match and somebody just starts spamming the chat with trade because they want to trade items or boxes or whatever, because it's kind of like the hats in Team Fortress, right? Where like everybody wanted to get the fanciest hats, and I never got that either, but there was this whole like in-game economy that came out of that that was people exchanging real-world money. Like people were making cash off the thing, and for the life of me, I just can't wrap my head around that. But it's a big deal, and in so much as this is now permeated into some big name games, recently the new Shadow of War, the new Lord of the Rings game, that apparently this is a mechanic in it, and I saw Cabbage on the Facebook page say that he returned the game because of that mechanic, because of the loot box kind of mechanic in the game, because it feels cheap or weird or whatever. And so I would love your thoughts on this. I know you and I are probably about the same place on this. And just why is this suddenly a big thing in gaming? Like who digs this?
It's not gaming, it's everywhere. Because I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's this thing out in the real world called a loot crate, right? And you give this company, I don't know if it's, this is how little I know, but you give this company so much a month, and they send you a box of different, like, geeky swag.
Right, right.
Like, it's like Blue Apron, except for its stuff.
Right.
And there are several of these companies that do that. And I know several people that get these loot crates. One of the guys that I work with actually does it. Like, I don't know what amount of money that you give them every month to get one of these crates delivered to your door. But the benefit is that you get this crate and you don't know what's in it. And you open it up and it's got some cool geeky stuff in it. And I know a lot of people, a lot of authors especially, that are involved in this will get their loot crate and give stuff away on Facebook, or they'll get an extra loot crate and give it away as far as like contests and stuff. So long story short, as to bring this back around to games, this is everywhere, and I'm not the kind of guy that really understands it. Like, okay, you want to give me a crate in a game with some cool stuff in it? That's good, but I'm not gonna pay for it.
Right.
Like I'm just not like. First of all, and I talked about this on the last show. I told you, you know, I love NBA basketball. You know, I love the Warriors. But I decided not to pay for the league pass this year for the first time in like 5 years just because I didn't want to spend that money. I'm turning into you, apparently. plus, the Warriors are the champs, and so they're on national TV more, and I just don't really feel like I'm going to miss that much. But my point being is I don't have the kind of spare money every month, even still. Like, I have three jobs. I have, and I'm actually getting paid for two of them, which is awesome. And so I have more expendable income, but I'm not somebody, especially in a gaming environment, that's, you know, if somebody gives me a loot crate, I'm going to go, great, here's $5.
Yeah.
And I want to know what's in this. I don't have that kind of money. I really don't. And like, it's like I have the lyrics from Royals playing in my head because I'm like, that kind of looks just ain't for us. You know what
right.
I'm saying? Like, I don't really know what the point of that is. And apparently somebody is making money or they wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
But I don't
absolutely.
Here's what's crazy to me. I don't even play games with the intent of trying to get cool stuff. And I really should, because there are people making money off of Steam for trading cards. You know, they've got this thing now that you play a game on Steam and you get these packs of trading cards and you can trade them with other people and make actual money that goes into your Steam account, which you can then use to buy games or whatever. And the other guy that I work with does that. And he's forever talking about the money that he made on Steam by trading the stuff that he got in game. And I don't understand where you and I are in our lives, because my response to everything at this point is, I don't have time.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is that I'm doing wrong that I feel that way, but that's part of the reason that I didn't pay for the NBA League Pass this year, because I'm like, I don't have time to watch, three different games every night. I don't know when I ever had time, but that's where I'm at with my life. And I feel like a loot crate, whether it's in-game or whether it's in reality, is one of those things that I look at. Like, first of all, I don't really have the money, and I don't really have the time for whatever comes in the box. Am I missing something, sir? That's just kind of how I feel about it. No, I'm saying from your perspective.
You and I are basically on the same page of this. I would phrase maybe a little bit differently, instead of saying I don't have the time, to say I don't think it's worth my time, if that makes sense. And so, like, I blow a lot of time. Like, this is I'm a busy dude. I work a lot. I have a lot of things going on, and so I'm almost always doing more than one thing, as you know, when you are sitting in through my 40-minute pauses in the game when I get up to cook supper or whatever, you know. I do a lot. I'm busy all the time. But there's also sometimes that it's just me and the sexy sidekick sitting on the couch watching TV. And that's worth my time, you know, like hanging out with my wife, like watching TV, you know, laughing at The Office, whatever it is that we're doing. That's something I'm willing to kind of quote unquote waste my time on. Like, I enjoy that. It's wonderful to be hanging out with my wife or whatever. And so I blow time, but I blow time on things that I at least find some value in personally. And so if I don't find value in it, it's not worth my time that I have to blow.
And I think that's very, very interesting that you put that way, because we are at an age now where if we live in the same city, and at some point we are going to, I'm vowing that right now, at some point in our lives, that's going to happen again. And we are at an age where we would probably, it's probably a no-brainer that we would have dinner twice a week or, you know, do something like that and sit around and watch TV, because that's what we do when the three of us are together. And that to me is very valuable. And so I love the way that you use that because, yeah, if we're in the same space, we're probably gonna have dinner at least once a week. And I very much value my time, and when we are the way we are now and we don't see each other on a regular basis, that's something that I truly miss. That's something that I don't have with anybody else. Evie and I were having this discussion this week. She's not really into it, and like I don't get it. Like,
yeah.
Like I don't like if I can hang out with a couple of people that I really enjoy, that's how I want to spend my time. And you're right. It's about how you value your time as opposed to not having it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so I'm not going to spend my time, my free time or whatever, like trying to figure out how to leverage these items in order to pay less for games on Steam or make some extra money or whatever. Like, if you want to do that, that's perfectly fine. It's just not what I want to spend my time doing. And even more than that, like, this is me, old curmudgeon-y gamer, coming out. I want to play a game to play a game. And so, like, Rocket League, going back to that, because this is a game that I've encountered this at least some in, like, I don't care about the, like, little aside things. Like, I just want to play the game because I think the game is fun, you know? And so, like, I'm just really interested. Like, when I fire it up, I'm like, get into a match as quickly as I can. That's what I want to do. And then once the match is over, like, it's either get into another match or move on with my life and do something else. Like, I'm not, like, spending hours, like, customizing my card with the stuff I got. Like I said, I'll put 5 minutes into it when I first start to go, oh yeah, that kind of looks cool, it's my personality or whatever, and then if I get an item that I want, I'll equip that item. But I've spent a grand total of maybe 10 minutes in Rocket League ever working on what my car looks like. I don't care, unless it gives me some like benefit in game. I'm not changing anything about it because I don't care, you know. Like, I just want to play the game to play the game because I enjoy playing games. And there's a lot of people, and like my younger brothers are this way with games, that will just sit and obsess over like the car side of it, of like tweaking every little detail of a car or a character or whatever. Like spending, I remember my brothers when they were younger, they would always get the like wrestling games, like the WWE games, and they would spend hours making a character, like tweaking every little like bone and detail that you can, like for hours. And then once they got done with that, they would just make another one. And I'm like, do you ever play the game? Like, do you ever like actually go and like, oh yeah, sometimes we like try the characters out. Let me show you this other character I made, you know, like. And I just, there's such a disconnect from how I approach games. Like, I even like on a game where like a Mass Effect, where you like get to customize your character. Like, I'm going preset, preset, preset. Like, give the dude a beard, because I always give my dude a beard if I can, because I have a beard. And so that's, like, my one connection, you know? Like, let me scroll through the beard options. There's the beard that's, like, big and full. I have a big and full beard, and done. Like, there's my character. I don't care about that aspect of gaming.
A great example of that for me was Fallout 4. I haven't really put a lot of time into Fallout 4, but there's this whole character creation thing in Fallout 4, and I'm like you, preset, preset, preset. Hey, does this hair look like mine? Okay, cool.
Right.
The difference with Fallout 4 versus other Fallouts is that you could actually designate all of your points any way that you want to. You know, the other Fallouts that sort of limited you, like you get so many to start, and you can only put so many points here and so many points there or whatever. Fallout 4 is totally different, And so my guy in Fallout 4 is madly intelligent, but he doesn't have much skill in anything else.
Sure.
Which is probably going to be a huge mistake.
But that's a good example of something I'll spend some time on, like allocating
right.
skill points I care about because it affects how the game plays. Whether my dude has green eyes or blue eyes, I don't ever see my character's eyes. You know, like either it's a first-person game and you're looking through their eyes, or it's a third-person game and you're looking at them from behind, except in cutscenes. And so I don't care what color their eyes are. Make them, you know, purple, whatever. I don't care. And that's going back to the loot box thing. It feels like so much of what you get from these loot boxes falls into that more cosmetic category of making your character look cool or personalized in a way, or having a hat that nobody else has and then being able to run around and be like, look at how cool I am because I have this hat. And I'm just like, okay. Like,
if the
game's fun, give me the most generic character possible and I'm just going to go play the game.
Can I mention that I hate hats in both in both reality and in games? I hate hats. I hate them.
I'll take that.
I can't tell you why. I don't look good in hats. They don't feel good to me. I don't like hats. I know that's random, but I just don't.
It's fair enough.
Yeah.
One more thing on this topic, another bit of news. So Activision has been granted a patent. So they officially have a patent on this that essentially will use multiplayer matchmaking systems to try to entice you to buy stuff, to pay for microtransactions. By putting you in a match with other players who are better outfitted than you because they've spent real money to buy stuff. And so horse armor, whatever it is, that horse armor's the microtransaction trope. But say you're playing whatever game, you get into the game and we'll say like Call of Duty. And you can, you know, have this one gun if you pay for it, like $3 or whatever. And the gun is like a sniper rifle, but it's significantly better than all the other sniper rifles for whatever reason. And so Activision is going to drop you into a match with a dude that has this sniper rifle, and that dude's going to own because he paid extra money to have the better weapon. With the thinking that you will be so jealous at the fact that that guy was awesome that you then in turn will also go pay them money. But instead of just letting that happen randomly, they actually have an algorithm that's going to purposely put you with that dude so it makes you more likely to pay the money to
I hate that idea so much.
Isn't it the worst? It's so manipulative and awful. It just, yeah, it makes my skin kind of crawl, you know? Like, it just feels like the most manipulative thing. Now, to be fair, this apparently hasn't been implemented into any game yet. But Activision is the company that's going to implement this into a game. And so you don't patent something because you don't think you'll ever use it. You know, you want that idea out there for a reason. And so that doesn't mean that they'll implement it, but they're probably going to try to implement it. And it just, again, this is some of the reason I don't enjoy online play. Any game where you have to pay more money to have an advantage is not a game I'm really interested in playing. And so I would avoid any game that's like that in the first place. But if I was playing that game, to know that the company that made the game is actively trying to undermine my game experience by putting me up against people who likely are going to have an advantage because they paid more money for the game, that they've bought these microtransactions, just sucks. You know, like just flat out sucks and makes me not want to play that game even more. And it's just kind of like, screw that. Like, give me my single player experiences and I'm just gonna do that forever. That I don't have to buy extra stuff if I don't want to buy extra stuff. Stop trying to steal all my money.
I understand that it's about making money and that's the point. And like, everybody wants to make as much money as they can possibly make, But at some point, it just gets slimy.
Yeah.
And when you get slimy is when I have a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. When it feels that manipulative, right? Like, any time that I feel like a game company, or any company for that matter, this is, you know, anywhere in consumer life, anytime that I feel like they think I'm either stupid or easy to manipulate, which this is, I mean, that's what they're saying, right? Is that people are manipulatable into spending their money because of envy and jealousy. Like, that's what they're trying to accomplish. They're trying to bring out less than admirable aspects of people's personalities to entice them to spend money. I think you kind of suck as a company for doing that. You know, like, I just give me a good game. Like, why not just give me a good game? You know, like, I just don't see how complicated that is. And there are, let me be clear on this. There are good games that use loot boxes. I love Rocket League. I think it's a blast. Apparently this is a big part of Overwatch. I don't know. I haven't played Overwatch. But Overwatch apparently is a super fun game, and this mechanic exists in there. So there's good games. Speaking of, that's under the Activision umbrella, I guess, huh? Because Blizzard is part of Activision. So it may be in Overwatch that they're going to pair you up against people that have cool stuff that you don't have to try to get you to spend some money or whatever. Like, it may be a good game that's doing this same kind of crap, but it's still crap. Like, it still sucks. And if it's going to diminish my gameplay experience, I'm a lot less likely to play your game.
I just don't understand why we have to have these discussions.
I know.
Like, why, like, okay. Here's my thing. And I haven't said that in a while, so here we go. Here's my thing. Games are $60. That's what they are across the board. They're $60. And you pay your money and you get your game, and it just feels like that now we're entering into this kind of thing where it's like, yeah, we got your money and now we want to get your money again.
Yeah.
And we're going to get your money as much as we can possibly get it. And we hope to make $100, $150, $200 off of you before it's all over. I have a problem with that. I really do. If I pay $60 for a game, I want to play it. I don't want stuff to be locked. I don't want to have to purchase different things. Now, if you give me a reason to purchase something, for example, good DLC, and we've been talking about Horizon. Horizon has a standalone DLC that if you're not willing to purchase, sir, I really feel like by the end of the game, we're going to want to purchase that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And they're going to get our money because that's something that I want to see. You want more money from me? Give me stuff like that. Right? Like, give me stuff like that.
And I agree.
I just, it's that simple. And I understand that these guys work crazy hours. These guys that are making these games work crazy hours. And they don't make that much money. But what upsets me more is that I'm thinking that the dev teams of these games probably don't get a very large percentage, if any, of this microtransaction crap. Like, I don't know where that money goes, but it probably don't go to the guys that built the games.
Yeah, you're probably right. And that also seems terrible and underhanded.
If we know enough about the gaming industry, and we've talked to enough people to know that your average game developer, even at a large company, doesn't make that much money. They make a decent living. They make more money than you or I, but they're also in a bigger city with higher living expenses and so on and so forth. So if you're gonna tell me that we got these microtransactions and it's gonna go to the art designer who you've never heard of, you'll never know his name, that made, you know, 60 grand working 80 hours a week to put this game out, then I'd be more inclined to do that. But I'm, like I said, I'm guessing that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I think you're probably exactly right. So, all that being said, we've got a couple other news things to hit on. That one took a lot of time, but it is good discussion. I think there's a lot to talk about there. And it's something we may, I would like to maybe revisit on the roundtable with Cabbage and Chad and some of the guys, Spider, that may or may not have participated, or at least play some of these games where this is more common, because neither you nor I play that many games where there's a lot of these kind of things. And I know they play more of those. And so, yeah, it might be interesting to hear their perspective on it as well. But a couple other quick things. First of all, Humble Bundle, which we love, Humble Bundle is awesome, is now owned by IGN.
What?
Which is a little scary.
That's not good.
IGN bought out Humble Bundle, which is possibly the end of Humble Bundle being awesome. Hopefully not.
Let me ask you this. How much did the Humble Bundle guys get? Because
I don't know. That's a good question. I haven't seen that specified. And so, yeah, I don't know. But they're all apparently staying on board. The team, at least this was my understanding of it, the team that runs Humble Bundle is going to continue to run Humble Bundle, and it's going to continue to be essentially an independent thing. It's not going to be like IGN presents Humble Bundle or whatever. It's supposed to be the same people running it, and it's just under the IGN umbrella now, which they can do. You know, obviously they have more money to put stuff into it, which would be good, and maybe there will be some really good stuff that comes out of this. It's just such a cool system that both does good, like that you can allocate money to charity, which is awesome. And so I dig that a lot. And can get you really cheap games. You can get really solid games. For instance, right now, the bundles that they have an RPG bundle right now that has, I know it has like Borderlands as part of it, which is cool. I'm pulling it up right now just to see. You can get Borderlands for $1. You can get Borderlands and Borderlands 2 for $5.39. That's the average of what people have played. Or you can get all that, both of those, and Borderlands the sequel for $10. And on top of that, you get some other stuff like Endless Legend as part of it, and Worm Unlimited, which I don't know anything about, or Van Helsing game, which I also don't know anything about. But you can get all those for $10, and it's awesome. And I've bought tons of these for one or two games, and then I've got all these other games, and eventually there's one that captures my interest. And
we bought really one to give away, which was awesome.
Yeah, that they did a Walking Dead one or a Telltale one, that they've done a bunch of these before that are super cool. And so hopefully they continue to do that. Hopefully they continue also, more importantly for me, of what Humble Bundle stands for, hopefully they also continue to give a lot of money to charity and put money towards good things, because that's one of the really fun parts about buying stuff off of Humble Bundle is you can actually, not only do you know money that you spend goes to charity, but it allows you to allocate it how you want between the charities and the game developers and Humble Bundle's expenses. And so if you just want to give all the money to charity, you can, or if you want to split it just between the charity and the developers, you can, or if you want to give it all to Humble Bundle to help them pay for their resources, you can. And so it's a cool system that I hope that they continue to make a cool system and don't break it. It's a little worrisome that IGN is in charge, because they could easily break it.
Well, it's not that, we like IGN, but IGN's like everybody else. They're very interested in making money.
Yes, and have become very corporate.
Yes, they have.
And once upon a time, when we were first doing this show, it still felt like IGN was like this little upstart that, like,
because they was.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
it very they
much
were.
Was at that point, because we've been doing this for a long time. IGN has survived when most other game publications haven't. Like, the number of big-name game publications we have today is significantly fewer than when we started this show. There was a whole bunch of smaller names, and now there's a fewer bigger names that have all been either bought out or combined or whatever. IGN has been part of that. They've been lucky in that they've been one of the buyers and not one of the buyees up until this point, but they're owned by, I don't remember who.
Rupert Murdoch.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah.
That's a whole other thing. So it's the way the world works, and don't screw it up. Please don't screw it up. That's
which, by the way, we would probably change our tune if somebody would buy us out.
And, yeah, and they would screw it up, and we'd be just fine with that.
If there's somebody out there that wants to buy us out, send us
Rupert
email.
Murdoch. Gaming, come on, man.
GamingUnsubstantiated@gmail.com. Buy us out. We'd be fairly cheap.
That's right. Yeah.
Relatively, we'd be fairly cheap. I have to tell you. I know we probably have a couple more things before we wrap up. I'm glad that you like your job, sir, because I am of the idea that I am now getting paid for two jobs, and money is awesome, but jobs are overrated. Like, I don't know if you feel that way. I know you like your job, but I'm starting to feel that way. Like, money is awesome, but jobs are overrated.
Yeah.
I think that's
a fair way to say it.
if somebody wants to buy us out, I'm all about that. Because when you do, like I did the math the other day, and I need to harass my brother about this. I'm working about 15 hours a week at my brother's shop, which is cool. I like the guys I work with and whatever. But I did the math the other day, and you know, I have an online job still that pays me really, really well and has for like 10 years. I have one gentleman that I work with that pays me extremely well to do what I do online. And I did the math, and I actually make more money working online for half the hours than I do going to my brother's shop. Like, seriously, it's like $40 more per quarter.
Yeah.
And, like, it's crazy. And so I love my brother. I love that I'm able to help out, but if we ever get to the point where we can do this for a living, yeah, I still want to do that.
Yeah, that's fair. So. That's fair. So, briefly, I'll mention a couple of the other things we have, but go by the show notes at GamingUncensored.com to see the stuff that that we didn't get to today because we got caught up talking about Horizon, which was fun and not a bad thing at all. So, a couple of things on Nintendo, though. The SNES Classic has officially been hacked. It's already done. That you can now load your own ROMs onto the thing and play a lot more games than just the ones that are built in. So, God bless hackers.
Can you add space to the thing? Because that's what I want to know.
I mean, those ROMs are so small, I can't imagine. I don't know how much built-in memory it has, but I can't imagine it needs much. Those old games are like 8 megs or something, you know, like it's absurdly small. So I don't know. It's a good question. If it doesn't have enough built-in memory, how much can you add it? How much can you add? All that kind of stuff. But it makes it a little bit more intriguing to get one that you can then. I don't know what the process looks like to hack it. That's a good question because it's not like open software or whatever. So, but still, cool that it's out there and you knew it would. Also, one more thing with both Sony and Nintendo and weird, interesting story. Sony is apparently soon to publish games that will appear on the Switch and PC. Sony will publish games that will appear on a Nintendo console. Sony has unveiled a new studio that's called Unties, which is a weird name for a studio, but whatever. That's going to be a focus on, like, indie games kind of thing, more so. It's the name is about like freeing up developers to do what they want, untie their hands, let them experiment and explore whatever. But the idea that we'll see Sony published games, you'll get the Nintendo Switch logo and then you'll get a Sony logo, is weird. Apparently it's pronounced untees instead of unties, but whatever. It kind of boggles my mind. Just a weird age we live in.
Can I get Horizon on PC, please?
That would be great.
Seriously, that would make me happy. Because I actually think that one might play decently on mouse and keyboard.
It could. Yeah, I think it very well could.
Yeah.
It's a possibility. By the way, the one thing that might prevent you from more Horizon soon is Stardew Valley on the Switch. I'm kind of jonesing for that.
All I have to say is if that happens, I need to see that as well, because I know you're all about that.
Which, by the way, also in the news, there's a new firmware update for the Switch that now includes video capture. So that's a built-in thing, which I'm curious to how it'll work, but also of how well it'll work undocked. Because if then I could stream content not plugged into the TV, you could see a whole lot more of it, because that's definitely a game I would want to take with me to go places with. So, new feature on the Switch.
Can I just mention the fact that if you guys realize how insightful I am about video games when not playing them? Somebody pay me to just watch people play video games. I'm really good at it. Like, I made some very valuable points today. And I don't even have the controller in my hand. So can I get a job doing that, please? and to be totally honest, dude, it has become a skill in my life. I have to pay attention to lots of different things to be able to do that and sound credible on this show. Because I have to sound credible, and there's 8 zillion different games out there that I can't play. So it's definitely a skill set, and I think if the Switch does that and they do it well, I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Because I gotta tell you, I'm looking forward to some Metroid on the Switch.
Yes, you and me both.
Do you have that, by the way? I forgot to ask.
Did I bring it with me?
Yes.
I did not. I'm not entirely sure why. I do know why I didn't. It's because I didn't, especially on the plane, want it to be a temptation because I had a lot of work to do. And so I used my flight as time to get work done. And I knew if I brought that with me, I wouldn't get work done, that I would end up just playing the game. So it was intentional not to bring it with me. But it's also sad that I don't have it with me, because right now it'd be really nice.
Yeah, it would. It totally would. Have we mentioned that we like video games? We really do.
We do like video games. They're swell.
They really are. They are totally swell. I got to tell you something that would make you laugh. And if there's any kids listening, stop listening right now. Because you shouldn't do what I'm about to tell you. But see, this is how I know that, again, we're adults now, and I'm about to have this discussion with you. When Jane stays with me on the weekends, you know this because you were here last time. When Jane stays with me on the weekends, I send her to the store to get adult beverages. And so Jane stayed with me like a week ago, and I'm trying to figure out what adult beverage that I want. And I decided to try Bailey's, which I never really had Bailey's before because, you know, I'm sheltered. And so I sent her to the store to get Bailey's, and I gotta tell you, one of the most awesome things ever is Bailey's and Brahms chocolate milk.
Interesting.
I don't know if you've ever had Brahms chocolate milk, but Brahms chocolate milk is the greatest chocolate milk ever made. Right? And it's even better when you put some Bailey's in it. So I'm just saying.
I like Bailey's a lot, and I like chocolate milk. Though, I don't know if I've ever tried Brahms chocolate. I'm sure I have at some point. That seems like a Texas thing.
It is a staple in my house. I keep a half gallon all the time. Next time you're here, you got to try some.
We have a Brahms not 5 minutes from our house, so I'll have to go pick some up. Yeah.
Go get it. It is, because have you ever had the Brahms chocolate milkshake?
Yes.
Okay, you know how good those are.
Right.
That's exactly what the milk tastes like.
Gotcha.
And it's $2 cheaper.
Nice.
Like, it's thick, and it's good, and you like, it's just like you pour it, and it's like I'm having a Brahms chocolate milkshake. It's awesome.
Nice.
And I literally, most people have a beer or something every night before they go to bed. I have a glass of chocolate milk every night before I go to bed.
Nice. So
that's how awesome that is. So, yeah, when you get home, you need to go to your nearest Brahms and pick up some chocolate milk, because it's literally the best chocolate milk in the United States. And if you dispute me on that, I'll be shocked. So
fair enough.
You have to try that, because now I'm curious as to what you think. Because it is really good. And as we said at the beginning of the show, we really like food.
Yes. Food and video games and sports, and we'd be set.
Yeah. Can somebody pay us for all of that? Like, yeah. Just pay us for all of that, and we'd be really happy. But we got to get out of here right now. We've gone way too long. If you want to spend some time with us, you can send us an email, gaminguncensored@gmail.com, or the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
Of course, that will cut you off after 3 minutes, and if it does, just call us back, and we will stitch it together, because Tommy's good like that. We want to hear from you. We're on the Facebook page. Tommy is on the Twitter. He's doing amazing things on the Twitter over there, lots of cool stuff. I actually laugh at our Twitter. Like, our Twitter is entertaining. I give you credit, sir, because I'm like, yeah, that's actually funny. I hope people are paying attention to that.
Well, thank you.
We do have an enjoyable Twitter. We have the Facebook, obviously. We have the Patreon. If you're not joined us on Patreon over there, you need to do that. Lots of awesome stuff going on over there. And if we make more money, we can play more games. Because right yes. now, the only problem that both Tommy and I have is the time to play games. We have all of the games we could ever play, thanks to all of you guys for the massive amount of software that we get on a regular basis. But we are limited in the amount of time. I got to thinking it would be totally awesome if somebody was just like, and it might happen. Like, I might get a lottery ticket one of these days, and it might happen if somebody just came up and was like, here's $2,000. You don't have to do anything for the month. Just sit around and play games. That would be the most awesome thing ever. And
agreed.
Granted, you have to keep in mind I'm single, so I don't need that right. much money. But yeah, that's my new hope in life, is that something happens and there's enough money and I can just sit around and play video games, because we haven't done that in forever.
Yeah.
So before we wrap up, and we need to wrap up really quick, but I have to ask you, it's October, it's the baseball playoffs, and your Astros are doing what they do.
That's unfair. They've only been in the playoffs twice recently. So,
well, no, I'm just I didn't mean that disparagingly. I'm saying,
no.
what are you thinking? What are you feeling, sir?
I'm hopeful still. So the game's starting right now, and I'm desperately trying to find it somewhere. My hotel room doesn't have Fox Sports 1, and so I can't watch it on my TV in my hotel room. So I'm searching on mobile devices and everything else now, trying to find it. So they could go home. Well, they are home tonight. They could stay home tonight. It could be over tonight. Justin Verlander's pitching, and so by the time anybody hears this, it's already over. But I'm hopeful that it's at least a game seven. I want it to be a game seven. I'll be pumped if it is, and then like let's see what happens in game seven, because that'll be a lot of fun. I'd be bummed if it doesn't go to game seven. I would rather it go to game seven and they lose still than they lose tonight, you know, because it'd just be more fun that way. But I'm also hopeful that they could still pull this out, and then it's the Dodgers and the Astros in the World Series, which would be really fun.
Can we talk about the idea that if that happens, would that make you happy enough to maybe convince you to, like, take a week off and just do nothing for, like, a week? Because if that's what it takes, I will actively root for that to happen. if you just, like, take a week off and come down here, or I could go there or whatever, like, would them winning the World Series, would that do that?
I would love if that was the case. I don't think that would happen. But it would be really nice if that was a possibility.
I think like you said, you are a very even-keeled person. I can't even imagine what happiness would look like as far as that would go for you.
Me neither, honestly.
I don't even really know. So I'm curious to kind of see it, because, like, you are the most even-keeled person I know, and it's annoying for a guy that's not. I'm not. I wish I was, but I'm not. So I'm curious about that to see what happens. Your Broncos aren't bad.
They did lose to the Giants, who didn't have a win yet, and so that was a little rough, but they're not bad. And then there was that crazy Kansas City-Oakland game last night, so I was heavily rooting for Oakland just because Kansas City was starting to run away with the division, so at least it's still competitive in the division. We'll see what happens, but Broncos aren't bad. The Astros are in the division championship and maybe in the World Series if we get lucky. My sports life right now isn't bad. Like, even if it all falls through right now, it's been a pretty good year. I've enjoyed it.
I have a new favorite talk show host. Have you heard of Bill Ryder? Bill Ryder. You gotta look Bill Ryder up.
I heard him one time, because his handle is like Ryder on the Radio or something like that. I remember
he's the name of the show that is now syndicated here. It's called Ryder Than You.
That's right. Yeah.
And I got it. I love that guy, and I'm so tempted to call him and be like, "Hey, dude, come be on our podcast," because he sounds like us.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a dude. And I love him so much. I think if you hear him, you would love him. You need to pick him up somewhere on the interwebs, because he just does an awesome show.
Interesting.
We love Jim Rome, and we love everything that Jim Rome does, but Jim Rome is very what's the word?
Jim Romey?
Yeah, he's very like, I'm Jim Rome, who the crap are you?
Right.
And so Bill Ryder is the opposite of that. Like, Bill Ryder's that guy, like, you feel like you could just call in and you could like have a chat. So if you get a chance, I would greatly suggest that you check out the Bill Ryder radio show, because I think you would dig it, sir.
I'll have to do that. Yeah, I'll check it out for sure. Like I said, I've heard him just a little bit, not enough to have really an opinion of him, but I heard him at some point on some random radio station, I'm sure, while I was driving somewhere. The problem with Dallas is that every sports station in Dallas is all local talent, which I generally appreciate, you know? Like, I think it's a good thing for local markets to have local talk shows, but I don't care that much about any Dallas teams. I like the Cowboys, but the Broncos are my team. I like the Rangers, but the Astros are my team. I don't care about the Stars. I don't care about the Mavericks. And so, like, every Dallas sports station is only about Dallas sports, and so I don't listen to a bunch, other than the fact that Tim Kalashaw is a local host in Dallas, and I love Tim Kalashaw, and so I'll listen to Tim Kalashaw's show.
Well, I like him. And see, I'm about to say something that will make you like fall off your bed there, but this guy's better than Tim Kalashaw.
Interesting. I'll have to check him out.
Bill Ryder is better than Tim Kalashaw.
All right.
He just is, and I like Tim Kalashaw, but much like Jim Rome, Tim Kalashaw is very Tim Kalashaw-y.
Yes.
like he has that thing going on. And
it's a different kind of thing than Jim Rome, but yes.
Yeah. So yeah, I think you'll dig Bill Ryder. You got to check that out. And this is what we do at the end of every show, because Tommy and I don't get to hang out. And I don't think we've ever told people this before, but like, you're the only friend that I've ever had that could, like, hang out with me 3 or 4 days a week and not get really tired.
Yeah.
We just kind of got this thing going on that we've always had, that there's no, like, when we hang out and we talk about this at E3, but when we hang out, like, we can just sit in a room and whatever, like, we don't actually say anything to each other. We just sit in a room.
Yeah.
And I've never really had that with anybody. And it's a very different kind of a thing. And so the reason we put all this crap on the end of the show is because we don't get to do that on a regular basis. It's something that I don't think either one of us really has with anybody else, really.
Yeah.
So
outside of my wife.
Right. Your wife.
You would hope.
Right. Absolutely. So.
But outside of that, you're correct.
Yeah. So that's why we always have all of this crap on the end of every show.
And nobody listens through the end because nobody cares. But we have fun with it.
See, I don't know that nobody listens through the end. I don't know that. We assume that, but I don't,
right.
I don't know that for
Again,
a fact.
God bless you if you're still here. We appreciate it.
If you listen through the end of every show, send us an email, because I would like to know that.
Absolutely.
And if you do listen, is it entertaining at all?
Or is it just fun for us?
Because really, the last 20 minutes of the show is us just being us.
Yeah.
So anyway, we really appreciate you for being here. We thank you so much for putting up with our crap. We thank you so much for listening, even though we're not around every week like some other podcasts that have our listeners, which I'm still pissed off about. We thank you guys so much for being around. For right now, I think that is it. I'm Jamie, that's Tommy. We are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.